Inside the Birds is back. What's up, everybody? It's Jeff Mosher, Adam Kaplan, and this might be hard to believe, Adam, right? I was thinking about this. It has felt like months, a long month maybe, that free agency started. But if most people are listening to this Thursday morning, it's really, if you technically consider last Wednesday at 4 p.m., the start of the new league year, we're really only like 1 week and 1 day into it. Even if you go back to last Monday, of course, when open negotiation begins,
yeah,
we're not even 2 weeks in, but
I know.
Between with everything the Eagles have been through and every other NFL team,
yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, right, and the Jets, yeah. Like, it's felt like its own offseason. It feels like a season.
It does, yeah. No doubt, because, yeah, free agency started that Monday. And I was laughing. I was like, it's usually over by Tuesday night. All the big names are off the board, except for Gardner Johnson. We know how that lingered. But, no, overall, we'll go over the list of positions the Eagles still need players. And we've got an updated list. And we could go through our people we've spoken to about how teams see these players and so forth. So that's interesting, always.
Would you?
And the Eagles made some signings, as you know, some smaller deals. We have also going to update some terms and but yeah, you're right. We're down to the blue light specials, man. We're on these 1 year minimum deals mostly right now.
So would you classify this free agent week and a half, whatever you want to call it, 8, 9, 10 days? Do you think it's been a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess less lackluster. Certainly last year was an anomaly because you had quarterbacks like, you know, Russell Wilson goes here and then, you know, Tom Brady is coming back and you just had like a bunch of different things going on last year. But do you think this year has felt sort of like a, you know, if you were to do the top three free agents that have switched jerseys, right? Like Javon Hargrave might be one, and he's not necessarily a superstar. He's a really good player, but you know, Draymond Jones to Seattle, that was a big name.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know who Draymond Jones is.
Exactly.
So it's sort of been a mid-level free agency.
Here's why. Barkley franchise, Josh Jacobs franchise, Tony Pollard franchise, Lamar Jackson franchise. Still could be traded, but he got the non-exclusive tag, so we'll see if he's a Raven this season. Other than that, I mean, there weren't a lot of players cut. I was looking at my roster, I mean, my file on Wednesday, and a lot of teams picked up roster bonuses, injury guarantees that convert to full guarantees. A lot of these players were not cut. I mean, look, you saw Adam Thielen change over to Carolina. We talked to Greg Cosell about him. I know at some point over the last couple of times we've had Greg on, we talked about Thielen. But no real surprise about it. In fact, more players were cut. That would be a surprise to me. I thought more players would be cut. But the Saints, they always find a way to do what the Eagles do. They do so many voidables to keep the roster together. They always cry, oh, gosh, our cap problem's terrible. Guys restructure and they do voidables and they don't cut a lot of players.
Right. I mean, yeah, again, go back to last year. Not only do Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson trade jerseys, right? But yeah. Allen Robinson was the signing. Von Miller, one of the great pass rushers in the game. Yep. Amari Cooper, you know, one of the better wide receivers in the game. There were just a lot of big names moving last year. This year, not so much. I mean, obviously, Brandon Cooks is a big addition for Dallas that we talked about, but yeah, just not on the same level. So I just thought that was,
I agree,
that was pretty interesting there. All right. So we got a lot to talk about. We have new signings, as you mentioned, for the Eagles that we need to go over, some coaching staff moves that we need to go over for the Eagles. We have some contract information in that we'll talk about. And then of course, we'll kind of look at the Eagles now and say, what do they need going forward? Because we know, our listeners know, that it's really what the Eagles do going forward that's going to say a lot about the 2023 season. You know, Mike Gill asked me in one of our Football at Four interviews, you know, are the Eagles better now than they were at the end of the year? Ooh. And I said, well, of course not. You know, they lost a whole lot more than they've gained. But you would have said that about the Eagles on March 21st or 22nd last year at this time. You would have said, this team is not very good. You know, they didn't make enough additions because A.J. Brown wasn't here yet. James Bradbury wasn't here yet. C.J. Gardner-Johnson wasn't here yet. I mean, you had got Hassan Reddick, and that was great, but far from complete. So we know that, of course, what's to come will be very, very vital for the Eagles.
All right, so let me pick up on what you just said. Boston Scott re-signed on March 24th last year, okay? Zach Pascal signed on March 20th, so a couple days into free agency. But the big ones, they made the trade for A.J. Brown during the draft. Sue and Joseph's son way later. Robert Quinn, obviously, they made that trade. It didn't work out, unfortunately, for the fourth rounder. And then they had the craziness of the Fletcher Cox situation. They cut him, resigned within 24 hours. Kaiser White signed April 5th. And that, boy, that was a nice signing. Who knew at the time? Mm-hmm. You mentioned James Bradbury. He signed May 19th after the draft. Gardner Johnson traded, acquired right before the season starts. You're right. Yeah, there it was kind of like month here, week there. Yeah, you're right. No, they other than Reddick, who signed within 24 hours after free agency started, it was pretty quiet.
Yeah, I would say the majority of Howie's best moves over the last 3 or 4 years have come after the first week of free agency. I mean, we're going all the way back to, you know, Ronald Darby in training camp, right? To Jay Ajayi at the trade deadline. You know, Golden Tate didn't work out, but he did have a big touchdown against the Bears. You can't deny that. That was a huge play. To CJ Gardner-Johnson, to even in 2017, they brought somebody else in really late. Well, Blunt was in May, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So, a lot of his best moves have come way, way after the Malik Jackson. You know, that was an interesting one. He was a guy who didn't count against the comp pick formula because he had been released by the Broncos, just like we talked about with Marcus Mariota, doesn't count against them because he had been released by the Falcons.
Chris Long signed late in March. He signed a couple weeks into free agency in 2017. Mm-hmm. Blunt, good call, May 18th of 17. So, yeah, there's just a Timmy Jernigan trade, which was – yeah, and then they – in April, by the way, was traded in April. Right before the draft. So, yeah, no, that's a good point. So, we're not saying they're going to make trades, but the good thing is, and we'll get into this as the show progresses, some of the positions they really need, like safety, there's still a lot of guys out there. It's more of a buyer's market right now.
Yeah. So, interesting. There's a lot left to this offseason. Of course, the draft, we had a great conversation with Greg Cosell. It's the latest. The intel with Greg Cosell, which came out Wednesday morning on all of our platforms, and it was a nice hybrid addition because he recapped some of the Eagles free agent signings with us, all of them, and then he also went and started draft preview. We start with edge rushers, and I you know, was a little taken aback by some of Greg's observations, tape observations on some of the top pass rushers who everybody is all excited about, but there are some major question marks that he had. Not saying he did not say they wouldn't be good, he just had some question marks about their usage in college or what their natural position are or what their athletic traits really are for the position. So I would encourage everybody, if you haven't yet, to check out the intel with Greg Cosell to really get into those as we move into NFL draft preview, to really want to find out about a very important position, edge rushers. And of course, Andrew DiCecco's mock draft 2.0 is out. This is the only guy I know who does mock drafts that people actually love. Not love to read, because everybody loves to read all mock drafts, but they respect it for its sort of balanced nature of it. He's not trying to get first-round guys in the second and the third round, and he enlightens some people to prospects that they don't know about. So he's really good with that stuff.
Yeah, no, they're not mocking his mock draft. I saw the comments on Twitter. It's awesome. No, it's definitely. And then with Greg, look, so – I know someone mentioned on our YouTube comments, man, one guy was like, wow, I thought these guys were really good. Greg didn't seem to be high on him. He's just given the issues that he sees. It's not like he doesn't like these guys. He's like, these are kind of things like you need to know.
Right.
I remember Greg and I shared information on Thibodeau last year. We both heard the same thing. Well, he saw and I had heard that Thibodeau had some stiffness.
Mm-hmm.
So we made sure we mentioned that. That's our job, to mention that. This is what NFL people see. Right. And then the next show, the reason why we didn't do cornerbacks this week, Greg's not done. He's only halfway done. So we'll be talking about corners on that show on Wednesday of next week, and looking forward to doing that.
All right, cool. I want to say hello and welcome to some of our new Patreon subscribers. Adamus, I believe Adamus is his name, Chris Sorrentino, Steve, Deuce, and Mark. We really appreciate you. Hope you're able to join the Discord chats that Adam does with our Patreon subscribers on Discord every Wednesday. And of course, tonight, if you're listening to this on Thursday, tonight, Adam and I will do our much anticipated Ask ITB live stream. We send out the Zoom channel. Everybody gets some FaceTime with us. And I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of questions I have a feeling we're getting a lot of questions about CJ Gardner-Johnson, but in honestly, general, I think we're going to get a lot of questions.
We will, but just looking at Twitter, people are kind of done with it. Like they,
that makes sense. They're
kind of over. I'm pleasantly surprised because I didn't. Because remember, the news dropped Sunday night. His agent sort of refuted some of the stuff that's out there and whatever. And CJ went out there and said stuff, whatever. And then of course he had to throw in when he had his press conference with the Lions that he thinks the Lions have a better roster.
No, well, you know what? I think you. I mean, yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah,
I think pound for pound, they can make an argument. But we just said the Eagles aren't done. Like, let's see. Yeah. What they get between now and the start of the season. A lot of teams look better than the Eagles on paper at this time, again, last year, because then came A.J. Brown, and then came C.J. Gardner, and then came James Bradbury. So, yeah, anybody can say that in the first – you know, we always talk about the all-season champions.
September, man. Yeah. That's if they haven't addressed safety good enough,
mm-hmm.
you could complain. And, look, Gardner-Johnson, you can't depend on things like that. That was like a Hail Mary. Obviously, they did a great job of research and had good intel, and they nailed that one.
Right.
But you can't depend on these things. That's the point. Now, you had a good point on our show that dropped Monday. We had to come up with a list of these guys who are like Jeremy Chinn. I'm not saying, to be clear, I'm not saying the Panthers are looking to trade him, but Chinn's on the final year of his deal. So if they don't extend him, would the Eagles be, you know, would the Eagles call them or something like that? Somebody's got to be out there that they could take a look at if they can't get that safety. Because you're not – Gardner-Johnson is sort of like an outlier because of his ability to play multiple positions. But so, by the way, Jeremy Chinn could do that as well.
He definitely could. I don't know if we're ready to live in a world where both Jeremy Chinn and Jalen Hurts are on the Eagles, because that was the big controversy.
That's right. They were going to draft Chinn. No, that's 100%. We put that out on our show after the draft, like a pretty strong sourcing on that. And – it was one of those, because I was still like, it took me like a week to try to process who the hell's drafting a backup quarterback in the second round. I'll leave it at that. And then who knew? It's just this Eagles and the Slay thing still has me like, we have the contract stuff. Well, we have contract. The only guys we don't have is guys who signed on Tuesday, Evans and Morrow. But we've got great intel Morrow. We'll explain why in a couple minutes. But I still cannot get over the Slay thing. I still don't understand. I understand, but don't get it. Like, how do you go from telling the guys, you're out, we're cutting you, post June 1, 3 hours later, okay, hey, hang on. Not so fast. I'm going to keep you. Really? Okay.
Well, we will get into those contract details because we have them, so it'll be very interesting. I don't know how they do that, but they did it. All right. Let's get into step one of this podcast. We're going to talk about the coaching staff, Adam.
Yeah.
Because it's changed a lot since the end of the year, especially on defense. We know they have a new defensive coordinator with Sean Desai. We know Denard Wilson no longer with the team, same position now with the Ravens as secondary coach and pass game coordinator. So the Eagles added yet another coach. His name is Taver Johnson. He was most recently the defensive. I always say this. I always say, pass defense coordinator, even though the title is pass game coordinator, because once the team started using these things, it didn't make sense. It makes it sound like he's an offensive guy, even though it's clear he's the pass game defense. So I always say pass defense coordinator. So that's what he was at Eastern Michigan. He's a guy who's been coaching for like 30 years, mostly at the college level, a little bit at the pro. We'll get into it. But he is now the third guy in this mix here, right? Because we talked about DK McDonald, who was the assistant defensive backs coach. And then we talked about last week how they hired the guy from Chicago, Ronell Williams, former Westchester University linebacker.
Oh, did he go to Westchester?
He did. Really? Was it Widener? No, he coached at Widener, but he was a Westchester University. It's either that or I have it backwards, but I'm pretty sure he played at Westchester University.
I wonder if who was the guy who coached for the Eagles, coach at Westchester? Bill, linebackers coach, Billy.
Billy, I want to say Suey. No.
That's it. Bill Suey. 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 Suey.
Yeah, Suey.
Yeah.
So there. So we've got, and by the way, Ronell Williams, we said, was the Nickelbacks coach, which the Eagles just joined the small bandwagon of teams that have that. So that's three guys now, Adam, that are on this staff as defensive backs coach.
So I talked to someone who's coached with him years ago, who said, look, he's a sharp guy, not the most vocal guy, but he's a very detailed coach. The word I got, he's more of a college coach. So he has coached at the pro level, but I talked to someone who worked with him in the college level. And he's just a smart guy, but it's too early in the process. We don't know how they're divvying up the roles here. As you said, they got three defensive back coaches. Okay. We know one's nickel. Okay.
Yes.
We need to find out. Okay. Well, we know where the nickel backs are, usually a slot corner. Could be a safety because Evans played some nickel. Justin Evans played some nickel for the Saints this past season for the first time in his career. It's not really what he does, but he had to do it out of necessity. But I just wonder how they're going to divvy this stuff up. It's interesting.
I wonder that as well. We don't really know. And the team, wait a minute. Are we, because like the staff should be pretty much filled out now. I guess what they're still missing is a defensive quality control coach.
I guess, yeah. The DQC, right.
Right, now, because I'm waiting for that day that they release the final coaching. I mean, my gosh, it's, you know, how we're almost in April.
That's really,
they didn't even fire anybody.
that we know of. We should.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
But we don't know. Who knows? This has been, I get they were in the Super Bowl and everything, but this is a little bit late. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wanted to, and you had some great information on a couple shows about Williams. So you heard from who you talked to said he did a good job for the Bears.
Yeah, I know some people who know him and are familiar with the Bears, and you know they told me, look, you know, Ronell became the quality control coach for the Bears, which was Sean Desai's job when Sean moved up to secondaries coach, and then Sean became defensive coordinator. Ronell is still there. He thinks very highly of him. So someone told me, don't be surprised if Ronell, you know, and I hope I'm pronouncing it. It might be Ronell. Sure. Rises the totem pole fairly quickly for as long as Sean Desai is still there. I mean, who knows how long Sean will be with the Eagles, right? I mean, Gannon only made it 2 years. So he is somebody to look out for, but right now he is reportedly being hired as the Nickelbacks coach. And we'll see when the Eagles come out with their coaching list, how this hierarchy is. The same information you have about Taver Williams, is it? Taver Johnson is sort of the same description I think we've both gotten on DK McDonald, which is a guy who's coached for a while. Most of it is coaching experience, I believe, is at the college level. Smart guy, but quiet guy. You know, Denard was known for being an aggressive, he'll coach you, you know, that, and the players like that.
Yeah.
But I do get from both of these other, Taver and DK, that they're a little bit more subdued in comparison. So I don't know what that means for the state of the defensive backs going forward.
Yeah, I haven't talked to anyone who coached with Johnson at the pro level, so I don't know. And by the way, he's off of the Eastern Michigan website. I wanted to find his bio.
Mm-hmm.
So we know he was a safeties coach and defensive pass game coordinator. Now I know he's been a D coordinator before, which that's really good because remember, new linebackers coach. Oh, here's the craziness. Mm-hmm. Taver Johnson and DK Elliott were both former Temple D coordinators. Like, what are the chances these guys?
Right. DJ Elliott. Don't confuse him with DK McDonald.
I know. DJs, yeah. That's like, what are the chances of that?
Well, I sent you a text joking, like, who knew that that Nick Sirianni and Sean Desai love Temple guys so much? But Sean was at Temple, was he not?
He was assistant, yes.
Yeah.
He was an assistant coach, yeah. Three. Yeah. It's crazy.
The road runs through Temple if you want to be on the Eagles coaching staff, defensively.
Hopefully it brings good luck, but so we want to talk about that because it is important because things are going to change, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
You got a new defensive coordinator, these coaches, and you wonder, does Desai know him? Maybe because of the Temple connection, who the heck knows? But I like that Johnson, Elliott are well-traveled. Like they're older. Mm-hmm. They've been in the coaching game. They teach technique. They'll know how to do it. Now, I get it. At least Johnson's been on the pro level before, so he knows. And the guy who came from the Bears does too. So we'll see what happens. But I just find it interesting. They don't need just two. They need three coaches coaching the defense, the safeties and corners.
Yeah, that's a lot. And remember, Sean Desai also, as we mentioned, has a background coaching defensive backs, even with the Bears. So you got a lot of guys there with some experience coaching the D-backs.
One thing Seahawks sort of said, they were very happy with Desai's role that they gave. I guess he had he's wearing a bunch of hats with them.
Mm-hmm.
Desai before he became the Eagles D coordinator, so they're pretty happy with him. So We'll see. I mean, this is the second go around as a D coordinator. Did a nice job with the Bears. I know people are like, what are they going to do? What are they going to do this way, that way, and the other? We know they run the fan, they're running Fangio. This is what we were told.
Mm-hmm.
How he does it, we'll get a little bit more intel, because it was, he only did it for 1 year. I remember Robert Cohen had 18 and a half sacks. Another guy had 7, which is great. Not blitz. He's not a blitz heavy guy, but we want to find out more about the schematics of the way he runs his Fangio scheme. Because again, we told this like 6 months ago. They all run it. They're running the same concepts, but the way they coach it and the way they do things a little different than the way Vic did, because Vic's the master.
Right.
So you got the disciples. It's like with the Bill Walsh disciples and how Mike Holmgren handed down Andy Reid and others, and Doug Peterson, obviously, and others, they all changed that. Their version of the West Coast offense is going to be different than Bill Walsh.
No doubt about it. So I'm really curious to see Sean Desai's version of the Fangio offense. I'm kind of excited for it. Something different. I'm always excited for something new. We mentioned that DK Elliott, the linebackers coach, had experience with some Eagles. Davion Taylor, he coached at Colorado. Yeah. He was the position coach and defensive coordinator. And Kyron Johnson, because he was at Kansas and was, I think, outside linebackers and the coordinator there, if I'm not mistaken. So I was trying to see if Tavor Johnson, I know he was at Ohio State when former Eagle Malcolm Jenkins was there, but interestingly, he was in Temple in 2017, but that was, I believe, Hassan Reddick's first year in the NFL, 2017. So I don't think Tavor Johnson coached Hassan Reddick at Temple. I think they just missed each other. But
yeah,
I'm not 100% sure of that, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he was only – no, you're right, because he was the first round of 13th pick overall in 2017, so they probably would have missed each other.
Right.
I mean, if Johnson got there, maybe they overlapped a month. These things do happen sometimes. But anyway,
right.
So that's their staff, and as you said, we'll see once they announce it if there are any surprises. We're not expecting any, but you never know with the Eagles, man, with these coaches. Every once in a while you go, well, okay, they made this change. Wow, they didn't leak that. Okay.
Right. Right. All right, moving on. The Eagles had Bijan Robinson in for a visit, Texas running back, considered a first-round pick, very special with every trait that he's got. And it's sort of now we're getting like, oh, my God, are they really going to consider taking Bijan Robinson at 10? So now is a good time to remind people that they've had running backs in their building for top 30 visits before and have not taken those running backs. So we don't – now, who can you remember – being a top 30 visit
in terms of running backs?
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Zeke was one. Yep.
It, Darius Geis, who you reminded me of, we don't need to go into what happened with that one.
Yeah.
That was not good.
That was not good.
In fact, Zeke's, if I recall, was kind of weird. When he came in at 16,
mm-hmm.
They weren't considering him. I remember reporting it that it was not going to happen.
Right.
But well, obviously he was a great football player. But now let's examine this though. So they were really hot on Christian McCaffrey in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
You and I were doing that show on the Fanatic in Philly, and you'd asked me who it's gonna be, and I said it's gonna be McCaffrey if he's there. And of course it wasn't anywhere near where the Eagles were picking, and they got Derek Barnett, I think. 17.
Yes, they took Derek Barnett.
Still on the roster, by the way. Barnett's still there. We haven't even talked about him. He's still there. Doesn't sound like they're cutting him or anything like that. There's been no talk of it. So he's still on the roster, coming back from his ACL injury, but getting back to McCaffrey. So it just shows you that this is a guy they seriously consider. And I get it. They haven't drafted a running back in the first round since 1986 with Keith Byers, who later became a fullback, who Buddy Ryan called a medical reject and drafted him, by the way. So look, you never say never. Now, remember, the Eagles have two first-round picks, 10 and 30, right? 10 and
30. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't, because Bijan Robinson is special, I wouldn't dismiss it. I've changed my mind on the Eagles because there's so many things that have happened where every time something comes up, they don't do it, right? You with your safeties, they won't.
On earth are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. They won't do it, right? But. Every once in a while they surprise us, and I'm not ruling it out, particularly for a trade down,
right,
which I think is real because they have some rounds they're not picking. We know they're going to get some compensatory picks next year, not for this year. Correct. They didn't get any, right? So
they didn't get any from last year's offseason.
Right. So, yeah, I wouldn't rule that out for sure. I mean, I don't put a high percentage on it, but
I'm with you. I don't put a high percentage on it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even put it over 5%, but I wouldn't slam it. I wouldn't slam the door on it. Josh Jacobs, another running back, they also had in for a visit. And they really like Josh. They really I mean, I remember doing the pre-draft work there and finding out that the Eagles valued him a lot, but you just knew they're probably working. It was a very, very small chance that they were running back at that position.
We'll look more into it. I mean, we're not even in April yet. We'll get it a little bit more from other teams about what they, if we think it even has a, you're saying 5% chance. Like if we think like this actually could happen, and we'll detail a little bit more and we'll find out what where teams are with him and so forth. But he is one of the, by the way, he's one of the blue chip prospects for this draft. He's one of the, someone asked me on Wednesday night about our, cause you know, we usually get asked this, about how many blue chip prospects. I've been told 12 to 14.
I was just about to say, it's so funny. I said someone told me 13. I've gotten 13 a lot.
Oh, is that right?
Which falls right between there you go. There's 12 and 14. So it's perfect.
Bijan's one of, I know Bijan's one of them. I know that for a fact, but I don't have the full list yet.
Right.
But I would say though, we're talking elite, like Sauce Gardner types. Not many.
Yeah. Not many. No. All right. So we'll keep you posted on more visits as we hear about them. You mentioned a couple of signings, Justin Evans, the safety, which a fascinating story, really. And of course the linebacker, Nick Morrow. Is it Morrow or Morrow?
Morrow. In fact, Morrow. I talked to Paul Gunther.
Nice.
We'll get to, Paul gave me some great stuff. Boy, was he excited to talk about this kid.
About Nick Morrow.
Yeah, and he explained why. We'll get to that in a minute. But Evans has had some career. I mean, you feel bad. He didn't play in a game for 3 years, though he was with teams.
Right,
two of the 3 years, but to not play in a game for three seasons, and you know, we talked about this with the media on Wednesday. Not give up, give the kid credit. I mean, he's had such bad luck with it. It's just crazy. He's only played three seasons. Remember, out of six.
Yeah, no, that's listen. I think a lot of people, especially in this day and age, would have given up. They would have said, "I'm done. I can't. My body can't take it. I want to be around. You know, when I'm older and be able to walk with my kids or something." You've heard a lot of people say that, but. He persevered. I can't think of anybody. Maybe Carell Buckhalter, who missed consecutive seasons. And I don't even think Buck did. I think he missed two, then played, then missed another one, then played again. So three is a lot, man.
And Buck had both knees. He had, I think, a patella on one and ACL on the other. He's just the nicest guy in the world, Buck.
Definitely.
But
definitely.
Evans. So Evans now turns 28. He missed 19 through 21, though he was with the Bucs in 19, Bucs in 20, no team in 21. Three years in IR, 1 year on PUP. Poor guy, but he persevered. He showed he could still play in this league with the Saints. And how about for the irony of ironies, who's his agent? Same one as Gardner Johnson.
Yep, just to show that it's business, never personal.
Yeah.
Because he literally signed the day after all that drama happened with Gardner Johnson. How do you think that phone conversation with Howie and Jake went the next day?
Well, with Kevin Connor, the agent, no, you have to just put it behind you. Look, it's not the first time that they had talks break down and so forth. But anyway, so Evans was the second rounder of Texas A&M in 2017 of the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I just know from talking to the Bucks over the years about this kid. They were probably going to be right. Really good athlete. He could hit. He could tackle. And the injuries depleted him, but because he's built strongly and he's healthy now, who knows? Look, he's on a make good contract, which is an old fashioned term.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to get his money, he's got to make the roster. We don't have the complete details, but Morrow's in a similar situation.
Right.
Now here's what Gunther told me. He said, look, when he got him, Paul got him, I think in 18, it was his second year.
Okay, so this is with, just to, for context,
Raiders, yes.
The Raiders, and Paul was the defensive coordinator or linebackers
coach? No, okay. he was the D coordinator.
Right.
And he made the roster as a rookie, and he played special teams, started a little bit, but he was a sub-package player, but he loved Nick's attitude. Remember, he's a college safety at Greenville, which is Division III.
Mm-hmm.
He made the roster as a rookie. He's a smaller guy, but super fast. Hasn't put a lot of weight on. He may not even be 220. We'll get his official weight soon.
Mm-hmm.
But he just had such a great attitude. Paul really likes him. It got to the point he improved so much that he gave him the green dot. Uh, he he actually gave him that as a starter. You know what that means. You know, you got the communication. So Paul really trusted him and loved the kid because he wants to be coached. He wants to get better. He's just smaller. He's not going to be for everybody. Some teams don't want him because he's too small, and I get that. I think he did lead the Bears in tackles last season. Played a ton.
Yeah, he had 116, Adam, and 11 tackles for a loss.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like he was the Raiders version of TJ Edwards, you know, like a really good success story being an undrafted. Yeah. And this guy played D3, right?
Yes, Greenville in Illinois, by the way, Greenville University.
That's unbelievable.
And I said, hey, Paul, let me ask you about him. He goes, I love this kid. And he just talked 5 minutes about him. I was like, wow. He goes, no, he improved so much. And he was so good and so smart that he earned the green dot. You know, wear the communication piece as a starting linebacker.
That's cool.
But, you know, again, he's not going to be for everybody because he's so small. And he was, again, a former safety. So here he is in Philly, and we'll see. We'll see. Because right now, as we look at that position, because they start two inside linebackers.
It's funny, by the way, Kazir White was also a former safety.
Yeah, that's right, at West Virginia.
So if you thought the Eagles, because I think a lot of fans might have felt this way, if you thought the Eagles were going to, quote, like, learn a lesson about their run defense and what happened in the Super Bowl and try to change things up philosophically, no. They're still going to be the same composition. I mean, as far as based on their signings. In fact, N'Kobe Dean is probably a little lighter than TJ Edwards even.
Oh, definitely.
Now, he was good against the run, but he's always been described to me as side to side, you know, get through the traffic, not necessarily downhill. So if teams want to dedicate again, going running up the middle against this Eagles defense, we'll see what happens. But from a construct standpoint, they're not any different philosophically right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, Morrow, missed most of 21 with an injury, might have been an ankle or something. But the good thing is he's healthy. He's ready to go. As you said, he had a great season in terms of tackles.
Mm-hmm.
But they moved on, and they obviously, the Bears got Edmonds, and they overspent it. They overspent it at
stack linebacker
with
Edmonds,
I mean,
and TJ and
Edwards. Yeah, it's just not the way. It's, you know, no offense to Matt Eberflus and that staff, but I mean, good luck to them. But back to the Eagles. So we'll see with Morrow. And look, it doesn't mean that they're done. And Morrow's got to make the team. You would think he would, because he just started had a pretty good season with the Bears. But we'll see what happens. And look, again, they may not be done at middle linebacker or inside linebacker. So.
That is true. May not be done. Well, yeah, I would assume they're not. We'll see what they wind up doing. But this is what Howie does, right? He signs players he knows can start on 1 year deals, so that in case they get somebody, he gets somebody better. It's not hard to put that better guy in because you're not committing a bunch of $1 million for someone who's not better. So it's a smart approach. They've been doing it for a couple of years now, and it's worked well for them. All right. We got some contract stuff to get into, and then we'll go through, excuse me, some of the team needs that remain. First, we want to take a quick break to hear from our good friends and sponsors. All right, contracts. Let us get into that. Start with Rashad Penny. He's signed a 1 year deal at him, and it's kind of what you would expect from a 1 year deal.
Well, let me just give you an example of how small his deal is. I found someone told me this, and the league source had told me to send it to me. He goes, I'm going to send you what you need. And he goes, you're not going to believe this, but Boston Scott got more guaranteed money than Rashad Penny. I said, get GTFO. I said, no way. He goes, I'm telling you. And he
so
sent it
odd.
To me. I was like, how the hell is that even possible?
How does an agent let that happen?
Well, no, but because he had no leverage. Penny, with his injury history, where no one wanted to pay him.
I get that, but what leverage, I guess, did Boston Scott have to get a better contract
well,
than Penny?
I mean, Scott's been a good Eagle. They rewarded him, as we talked about that couple shows ago. They gave him a raise of $250,000, and they gave him a little bit of an increase in guaranteed money, $1.08 million, no signing bonus, by the way, and no dummy years. Shocking in a 1 year deal. I was joking on Wednesday night in our chat. I was like, I'm gonna do this because I want to compare these Saints contracts to the Eagles. Who has more voidable years? I jokingly said the Eagles have at least 30. No, I'm way off in that. It's got to be at least 50.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta be. Because Lane Johnson's got what? What is he up to? 2030 with dumb years? Come
on. Crazy.
So anyway, Rashad Penny, veteran minimum base, 600K fully guaranteed at signing. And I love this one. 10 grand in per game roster bonuses. So if he's available for 17 games, he gets 170 grand.
Nice.
Because of his injury history.
Sure.
You know, he gets rewarded and he'll have obviously plenty of motivation to get that 170K. But no, it's 1.35 million. That's it for him.
By the way, so your point on the fully guaranteed money for Rashad Penny is $600,000?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's going to make the 1.08 base too. But I was about to say, I mean, if you really just take the $600,000 as fully guaranteed, then Boston's got almost twice as much fully guaranteed money as Rashad Penny. But
yeah, so
Penny's going to make his $1 million. I mean, unless he's not, well, that's not, he might not. I mean,
he's not a lock.
Theoretically, he's got to get cut. Yeah.
I had a joke with John Hansen on our fantasy show on Wednesday. I said, Rashad Penny could go from being a starter to being cut. Who the heck knows? It's just, look, we learned our lesson with Jaquaski Tart. It may look good initially, but he's got to show that he's back. So what happened was they fully guaranteed 500 grand of his base, Penny's base, and they give 100 grand signing bonuses for 600 grand.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's amazing because if Rashad Penny stays healthy and has, forget 1,000, like we know he has the potential to do some great things, but even if he had like 800 yards and 6 touchdowns, for the money that they're paying, that's highway robbery. Great sign.
Exactly, man. This is
crazy.
And I love his interview that he just seems like a really nice guy. I watched most of the player interviews over the last week. He just and I know some of the reporters said, man, he's a big dude for 5'11". Yeah, I remember talking to Seahawks. I this is obviously back in 2018 when he was drafted. I think he was 235 to 240 when he was drafted.
Wow.
He's amazing. In the 220s now, but yeah.
I mean, I get it. He probably had zero market because of his injuries, but I mean, yeah. He's a guy who is pretty good when healthy. Like it's sort of surprising that you can get him at that dollar figure right there. That's amazing.
Again, he went on IR. He suffered another significant injury, broken leg.
No, I get it. I get it.
ACL, poor guy. I mean, he's had the worst luck. But see, now one thing someone said to me on Twitter, and I'm going to address this. It was a great, great point. Are you concerned about all these guys who've been hurt? Am I concerned about it? As long as the Eagles are not counting on these guys to contribute, because Penny, Evans, right, have had significant injury histories. Who else have they brought in here who's been hurt?
Well, Morrow missed all of 2021.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, and then Greedy Williams had some
really bad injuries.
Yeah, he's had some injuries too.
I'm glad this guy, I would credit the guy's name, I can't remember, but I was like, oh, we're addressing this.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're not counting on him to start any of these guys. Well, Morrow obviously is fine. He started last season, but.
Right.
Plus 230-year-old corners. Max's injury history. There's a lot of talent on this team still, but you worry about the injury histories. And Landon Dickerson, there's a reason why he wasn't a first rounder.
Right. So, right. Amazing. Keep an eye on it. Yeah. Same team that passed on DK Metcalf now signing guys left and right.
I know, but that was the neck. I mean,
it was a totally different. Yeah, it's just funny. Yeah. All right, Fletcher Cox. Now, I find this to be a pretty interesting contract for an obvious reason.
All right, so I know it was out there that, he's only making five. Someone put it, I can't remember. But it was kind of out there. Oh, they're only paying $5 million this season. Not quite. The $10 million fully guaranteed at signing. But what happened is because of the way they do contracts. So basically, his – I'm going to get this out here. Let me see. Fletcher Cox here. So basically what they did is they fully guaranteed his base salary of $1.5 million.
Right.
And the rest of it, they are making the $8.5 million they're treating as a signing bonus.
Does that start in 2023 or start in 2024?
I think it's 24. I think it's, based on the information this guy sent me, he's got a 4-year void.
Okay. So they're spreading out the other 8.5 from 2024 to in the form of dummy years.
And I haven't got the guy didn't send me all of it. He goes, you'll love this one. The guys that I speak with who do contracts, they because they know I'm into it. They laugh. They go, "You're gonna love this one," because I had read what's out there, and the stuff that was sent to me is not quite what's out there. Mm-hmm. Some of it's correct, but some of it's a little different. And it's just because the Eagles are the kings of the voids,
right?
So he's got his 10 million, but that's obviously down from 14. Was it 14 or 14 and a half million last year?
I think it was 14 and a half, or at least a chance to make 14 and a half.
It was, let's see, Cox last year on his 1 year, he had 14 million
mm-hmm.
fully guaranteed last year.
Wow. Right. Well, this is also all fully guaranteed at 10.
Yeah.
Now, so here's the interesting thing, right? According to the notes we have here. So the money is spread out through 2027, voidable years from 24 to 27. So, you know, do 8.5 divided by 4. That's what it is per year. But it was structured, right, so that it voids to allow for a post-June 1st release. So what the point is that is, let's say he's not going to be on the team next year. I'm almost positive. If he's not on the team next year, they're not going to take that $8.5 million all next year. It's going to be something like 2 next year. And then in 2025 when they take the biggest of the hit. But by then that's like 6 something.
Because remember the way that post June 1 works, on June 2nd, you half it. The current year's expiration stays and everything else goes to the next year.
Right.
And you get 2 of them per year.
Gotcha. So that won't be that makes sense. I mean, you take a $2 million hit next year. That's not a whole lot. And then the next year after, if it's 6, it seems like a lot. But again, now you're talking about 2 years later and the cap is up a bazillion more dollars. So
I hope you hope.
Let's just say this. We've seen worse. We've seen some worse voidable years with a lot more. Like, for example, Javon Hargrave. His dead cap number against the Eagles this year is pretty exorbitant. It's almost like, I think we said 12 to 13 million because of that, the voidable years.
Yeah, because that's the thing you worry about. And we're, it's a buddy of mine who used to be who's now on the agent side, but he used to do, cap. I don't want to say the guy's name. He said he'll do it, but we'll give the name out once he commits to it.
Okay.
And he said, they didn't do it a lot. Like the Bucs would never do them, and they did them to run it back, you know, to try to. Some teams just don't believe in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Some teams, like the Eagles, the Saints, a couple others, will do it because they want to try to keep their team together. Look, the Eagles, look, it works for them.
Right,
it works for them. So I don't have total details on the salaries. I just know that this year's 1.5 million, and then there's the Bradbury one and the Slay ones, which is. Bradbury, I think, has got a 4-year void. Let me just double check my notes here. I think he's got a 4-year void.
That's what we have in the notes, right?
Yeah, which is fascinating.
So it's a 3-year deal, but it's really... Wait, are you saying there's 4 more years after year 3 of the deal? Or
yeah,
that it's
so,
a 4-year deal?
Yeah, so basically, no. He's got a 3-year deal.
Right, but is there a 4th year that's a void year, or are there 4
years? Yeah, it's a 3-year deal, but the void start in 26.
Oh my gosh, so 4 years of voids, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's the details that I got. I don't have everything yet, but what they did is they went with minimum-based salaries according to the notes, and they took the $17 million in cash, gave him a signing bonus of $10.185 million, and they lowered his average salary. You know, so he took... It's really weird because I think you and I were talking about this. He went mm-hmm. from to $17 million in cash, which was not guaranteed, to $24.5 million fully guaranteed at signing. But
right,
the way that they did it was interesting. So the Eagles are also the kings of the option bonuses. Man, agents, they do it because they know Eagles have their structure. One agent called it a BS structure. I won't say who the agent is, but the guy has a good relationship with the Eagles, but he always laughs. He goes, here it comes. They're going to stick it down our throats. But so Bradbury, base salary, signing bonus, second year, base salary, fully guaranteed option bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And the third year, just under $17 million of a non-guaranteed option bonus, which obviously they're not going to pick up at when he's 33 years old. What they would do is if he's like shocking the world and playing great in year 3, you just redo the deal.
Right. But so as I understand it, then Bradbury's cap numbers in year 1 and year 2 are like 9
really
and
small.
11. They're
really,
that's
really
not
small.
Bad at all.
Hang on. I'm going to get it for you. Hang on. I have that.
So all the major money he's getting is tied up in those 4 years after year 3.
Wait to hear this one. Yeah. Yeah, see, here's the tricky part. See, this is a great job, whoever came up with this. I don't know if it was Bryce Johnson or Howie or Jake Rosenberg, whoever. But mm-hmm. So his cap number, because remember, Bradbury got a signing bonus under $8 million.
Right.
And he's got minimum base salaries each year of the 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Where he gets the fully guaranteed money is the first 2 years of base salaries, the signing bonus, plus an option bonus, which he gets in 24, which is fully mm-hmm. guaranteed. So it's a very interesting. So his cap numbers are really minuscule, over $3 million year one.
Right, yeah. Right. But because they're mostly guaranteed, like all the guaranteed money is going to be up after 2 years. It's those four pretty avoidable much, yes. years are not going to yes. have huge dead caps.
I have to get what 26, because I don't see how, because the proration is going to just grow after 25. I have to get the exact number. I got to get that. I'm just curious.
In general, though, if 20 million is fully guaranteed and year one and year two base and bonus are guaranteed, that's like eight, that's almost 20 of it right there. So
What is signing bonus is seven. Okay, Bradbury. So we can move on. Bradbury's signing bonus is $7.685 million.
Mm-hmm.
First year base salary is veteran minimum $1.165 million. Second year base salary $1.21 million. You know, we're around $10 million there, and then he gets the fully guaranteed option bonus. He gets it at the start of the league year.
Right.
And there's your $20 million.
Interesting. I wonder could become a 1 year deal for the Eagles if he does not play that well without too much of a cap penalty.
Well, then obviously the 25 option bonus would be declined automatically because if they cut him. But the problem is it's the proration on the option bonus, the fully guaranteed option bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's still going to jack up the future year's proration. I don't want to. That's what we're getting
a little too jargon wonky here with contracts, but it's interesting stuff.
Yep. And then
Slay was his original cap number this year. He had about 17 just in base salary alone, right?
Yes.
And then there was more from like a restructure. So his cap number, I think, was over 20.
It was $24 million. So yeah. Which we talked about a year ago. Cause I remember I said, hey, guess what his cap number was? You almost actually fell over.
My eyes fell out of my head. Yeah. Yeah, but then I remember us saying, you know what, they'll figure out a way to redo that one and kick the can down the road again, which they're kicking it. Yeah. So his year one cap right now is what, 11.5, right?
His
that's just all base.
That's his okay. So
if that 11.5 is base and some bonus, signing bonus and whatever, then that's
pretty low.
Yeah, that's almost half. That's more than half of what it would have been.
I don't know how they did this. Like I give them credit for all the hand wringing and the craziness of the situation where they told them they're going to cut him 3 hours later. The negotiator's extension. I can't stop laughing because I've never heard this before. 21 years of covering this business. Because usually the way it works is, like, you'll be told by a club, okay, hey, heads up, we're going to cut him if we can't trade him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now I've heard of a player being told he's being cut, and then they wind up trading a player, but never. We're post June 1 and we're cutting you. You're not coming back.
Right.
3 years later, you're coming. Not only are you coming back, remember that $17 million that wasn't guaranteed? We're going to guarantee it for you, but you're going to help us with the cap. So here's what happened. So Slay's cap number went from $24 million to $11.873 million.
Mm-hmm.
But remember now, they fully guaranteed it's signing $24.5 million. So how are they doing it? Base salary for the first 2 years, which are very low, signing bonus. $10.185 million, and the dreaded $11.64 million option bonus second year. Same structure as Bradbury. I love these. I just laugh.
Sometimes I wonder if they just imagine it. Like, let's come up with a number: $16.095 million. Okay, you're never gonna get it, but we're putting it there as an option bonus. You'll get it if we really screw up and still have you on the team in 3 years. Like that.
Right, in year three. So in year three, non-guaranteed option bonus due to the league year, $16.1 million. Obviously, wouldn't be getting that. Slay will be 34 then.
Right.
But it's just, or actually 35 technically.
But the fact that it's 16.095, like who came up with that?
Comes up with that? I just love this stuff because it makes me laugh because they're really good at it. Look, they do it their certain way. And so that's Slay. And then also we should mention on Jason Kelsey's contract, just because we love to do this stuff.
Yeah.
They don't have a poison pill, but he has a roster bonus next year. So they would have to redo the deal if he comes back yet again on another 1 year deal with Kelsey. Let me see if I have the language here. Yeah, he would have. There's a roster bonus on next year on the fifth day of free agency, so they'd have to redo it. So that more or less is a deadline to make sure. Okay, yeah. We need an answer, but.
A roster we'll bonus see, of $732.04 million just for the what sake of it.
What was it? What did we put out 2 years? Was it $30 million or some crap?
It was something so ridiculous that yeah, you knew it had to be.
Where do they come up with this? I don't know.
That's what I was saying. Where do they just pull? It's right. Like they pull a number out of a hat. Okay. All right. So that's all the wonky contract stuff. I think that what that does help is put it in perspective of how long you really expect these guys to be on the team. And it seems like both the corners. 2 years, and there's probably some wiggle room if one of them really struggles after 1 year. Where, yeah, you're taking a little bit of a hit in year two, but you might again if you post June for a first date, it may not be so bad. So that gives you an idea of that. And then from a big picture standpoint, I don't think it should preclude them from taking a cornerback very high in the draft because you're going to want. That you don't want to wait 2 years to then find your corner. You want to have a guy that you've developed and is ready to step in because these guys might get hurt at any time in the next 2 years anyway. So draft and develop. That's the name of the game.
I just look forward to talking to Greg next week about corners on your point. Yes. Is there that guy, not Sauce Gardner's obviously at an elite level, but is there that one corner that Greg likes who, I mean, I haven't talked about these corners yet, so I don't know how he feels, but I wonder if these thinks there's a guy who's ready to play year one if need be.
There you go, especially within the context of the way the Eagles play their defense with the Fangio scheme and, you know, the match carry deliver part of that element.
Good point.
All right. Well, I do look forward also to asking Greg about that. Let's go on with what the team is looking like right now as far as what it needs from now until the start of the season. Before we do that, we're going to remind you to check out our friends at PHLSportsNation.com. They're enhancing the fans' experience with their coverage of all Philadelphia sports teams for the fan, by the fan. That's their motto, so make sure you check them out at PHLSportsNation.com. And on Twitter, it's at @PHLSportsNation. And let's also hear from our good friends at Sky Motor Cars.
Sky Motor Cars in Westchester is a different sort of dealership. All it takes is one look at their Highline pre-owned vehicles that people all over the country want and need. Owner Brett Schulter, make sure you don't spend a dime of your money before you purchase the car. Sky Motor Cars allows you to make all the decisions regarding your next vehicle. At Sky Motor Cars, you never have to spend more than necessary. Visit SkyMotorCars.com today or call 610-918-7225.
If you stop in the Sky Motor Cars out there in Westchester, PA, make sure you tell them Adam and Jeff sent you. You will get the very best deal. All right. The one thing I can say that about the Eagles, Adam, as opposed to this time last year, right? Because Mike Gill asked me, are they better now than when the end of the year? And the answer was, of course not, because of all their losses. But what you can say is they are right now better off offensively than they were at this time last year, right? Offensively, this team is all set. I mean, yes, they lost Zach Pascal and Miles Sanders, but this team does not need the type of upgrade that it needed last year when it went into the draft and got AJ Brown.
No, well said. In fact, right now they could use a third receiver. Mm-hmm. Can't trust Quest Watkins in that role. Clearly, I understand he said he had a shoulder injury, but he obviously had a disappointing season. They need to add a third receiver, whether it's in the draft or free agency. The best guys out there, Marvin Jones, as we speak here Thursday morning, Jarvis Landry, who over the years he stopped being a slot receiver only. He could play on the outside if you need to. He's been hurt a lot. He's in his 30s. I know people won't want to hear this name, but I'm just telling you, Nelson Agholor's out there.
I think so it's a great name. I honestly think Nelson Agholor as a slot receiver in the Eagles offense with what they have would be a really good pairing. I know people don't want to hear it. They think about his drops and everything. I think last year for New England, he had to play a lot of outside receiver. We know that's not his position, but on this team, you put him in the slot, I think he'd be a pretty good productive receiver.
And he could play inside or outside. And remember, the problem with New England was the play caller.
Yeah. Now, I don't want him on the outside, though, in this.
Sure. No, I hear you. He'd be a great slot. And then Chris Conley, here's why I brought him up. He's an enforcer. He's a blocking receiver who can run a little bit, not great hands, but he can block, and he's a good special teams player. I've talked to coaches who work with him over the years. He's a really, the coaches love him because he does the dirty work.
Where was he last year? I haven't heard of him since he was with
Conley,
the Dolphins.
The Texans, Jaguars.
Wow, he disappeared.
He's been with a lot of teams, but
yeah, he was like, like you would see him every once in a while making plays when he was a Chief and when he was a Dolphin, and then he just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I'm reasonably sure he was with the Texans. Double check.
Okay.
Chris Conley.
He wasn't bad. He was your
fourth receiver, third receiver.
Number four receiver.
Well, he's
right.
Tall. I mean, he's got good size on him, but he's a true journeyman. He's been with a lot of teams.
Yeah, he has. Wait, he is tall? I thought he was a little bit on the shorter side. Chris Conley?
Chris Conley's tall.
Oh, okay. I must have.
See, that's why I thought him because of. He's 6'3". Is he 6'3"?
Oh, he's 6'3". That's right. Yeah.
Oh, Titans. He was with the Titans. The two teams, the Texans and Titans last season.
Okay. I think you can also look toward the draft and
sure.
The Eagles don't have that many picks, but, pull a guy out on day three that can compete.
But I love Marvin Jones. He's a high character guy who's done well. He's over his career, but he's also older.
Yeah.
Good leader. Those are some of the names.
And then, of course, offensively, we talked about last podcast, right? They're going to want to address the depth. They had Andre Dillard. They had – who am I missing? With Seumalo, they were able to have guy like Juergens' depth. But, sure. Yeah, your guy from Idaho is gone. What was his name again? Tua Opeta?
He's back.
Right. Was it Idaho or Weber State? Weber State. That's what it was.
Weber State. Yeah. Weber Grill State. Yeah.
Yeah. So are there some good veterans out there? You think that?
Yeah.
Who do you got?
All right. Now he was just cut. Pat Elflein was cut. These guys could play center and guard. Pat Elflein, former draftee of the Vikings, the Panthers cut him, would pay his roster bonus. Now, this guy I'm about to mention never became the player that he should have been. Now, he came in from Ohio State with an injury, first rounder for the Bengals, Billy Price.
Mm-hmm.
Been a major disappointment. He's basically a backup center guard. And Matt Skura could play. He's started plenty of the league. He could play center or guard. He's been around a while.
Didn't he start for the Ravens, Matt Skura?
He did, and he got hurt, and he played for the Rams. But
right.
I'm looking at my list of now a guy who's out there. Now, he'd command a lot of money, and I know he wanted some. And I think the Jets have kind of moved on. Is Connor McGovern.
Mm-hmm.
Starting center
mm-hmm.
for the I just can't imagine the he would be in the Eagles thought process only because he was making a lot of money. He's still out there, but I don't know that he's a guard. He's been more of a center.
Are there two Connor McGoverns?
There's the kid, yeah, and I was kind of blown away by that because one of them signed for me the Cowboys.
Yeah, the one that signed with the Bills, right?
Yes, and then
he
there's
used
the
to be Connor, the Cowboy,
and then there's the former Denver Bronco. We signed for big money coming over.
Right.
The
Penn State guy is the one that was a Cowboy who signed with the Bills, right?
Yes. The other Connor McGovern went to Missouri. Connor McGovern.
Yeah, they're both Connor McGovern.
Yeah, they're both. Yes. And he played for Denver. He was a kid who signed for big money, and he was a disappointment for the Jets. He's still out there, I think.
That's crazy.
Weird. Yeah. So who's out there who could – is there anyone else who could play and it won't cost him a lot of money? AJ Can's only a guard. Justin Pugh could play right tackle guard from Syracuse, from this area. Played Syracuse from this area.
Bucks County.
Yep. And that's Mike Remmers is a right tackle guard. Is a more of a power player, not athletic at all.
Yeah.
Like athletic guys. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if the Eagles use some late round draft picks on linemen too, just to. You know, like your Prince Tega Wanogo types, upside guys.
Right. So, but one thing though, remember Lane Johnson obviously still lead, maybe still one of the, not only is the best right tackle, still could be the best overall tackle in the NFL. Lane turns 33 next month, or actually in May. Do you start thinking about drafting his replacement?
Well, I tell you, man, with the Eagles sitting at 10, it's a little early, but it's sort of, you know, if four quarterbacks go, right, and then the two defensive linemen, Anderson and Jalen Carter from Georgia?
Yes, from Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, we know he's dealing with the legal issue, but let's say he goes. That's six right there. You know, there's Tyree Williams, the edge rusher will probably most likely go. It looks like when I know that Skronsky from Northwestern is really good.
Yes.
But, and we talk about this a lot, and sometimes we get differing information on whether or not teams are all right with a short armed tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like with Sewell and with Slater, the people I spoke to were comfortable with him at tackle, even though they had short arms, and they proved to be correct. Those guys have handled their own. I get less, to me, I get more Skronsky is a guard and they'd be more surprised if he could be a tackle. And I don't know if the Eagles want to draft somebody, and I don't know how the Eagles view him, but if they view him as just a guard, I don't know if they want to use a 10th number 10 overall pick on a guard. So it kind of limits to like, what do you got there at 10? It's sort of as cornerbacks, they'll be good. There should be good ones there.
Yeah. Joey Porter. Right. But Porter Jr., obviously. The kid Van Ness, who was a guy I like from Iowa, who's definitely going to go in the first half.
I could see the Eagles really liking him. He's, you know, with that versatility and that strength. And yeah.
Yeah. So we'll take a look at that starting next week. But
yeah.
So those would be the right now on your point about the Eagles. The Eagles offense is almost set. Unfortunately, they don't have any experience at right guard, so they'll have to take a look at Juergens. Right now, the in-house candidates would be Juergens, obviously, with Driscoll.
Mm-hmm.
And then a potential draft pick. Or I mean, they've got Fred Johnson, Roderick Johnson, but I don't see that happening. They're more backups.
Yeah.
And you know, was Juergens strong enough to – is he really ready to be that right guard? Mate, we'll see. We'll find out.
We will see. You hope that Jason Kelce stays healthy in camp this year so that you can get a good look at Cam Juergens at right guard. Defensively, we obviously know defensive tackle is an area that they could afford to have a veteran at. Safety, even though they signed Justin Evans, they could probably suit themselves to sign another safety. But the thing is, there's a ton of them out there, Adam, still.
It is a buyer's market. In fact, D-tackle. So, folks, here are the best D-tackles from our file here. Greg Cosell talked about Puna Ford. Puna Ford's been a great story. It's kind of weird because his arms are super long, but he's like 5'10 and a half, 5'11.
Yeah. By the way, Sean Desai has seen him play for a year since Sean was just at Seattle.
Right, and he isn't here. But, I mean, Sean's here and Puna Ford has not been signed. So you wonder if he could get himself together. But he's out there. Another former Seattle Seahawk, Al Woods, was just cut, saving a lot of money under the cap. These are run stoppers. You're not Matt Ioannidis is a run sort of a tweener type of. He's not much of a pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin Jefferson's another ex Seahawk who's out there who was just cut.
Good player, decent player, Quentin Jefferson.
Yeah, he's had some good snaps over his career. Sort of a journeyman. Keem Hicks is still out there, but he's near the end of the line there.
Right.
You don't even know how many snaps. There are a bunch of run guys. Nick Williams, formerly
Giant. By the way, though, Akeem Hicks, another player Sean Desai is familiar with from his Chicago days.
Yeah. It's somewhat of a buyer's market, but they're just not. I don't see a name where you go, you know what, that guy could start. Oh, Jordan Phillips is out there. Okay. Jordan Phillips has had a lot of injuries, but he's talented.
At safety, Adrian Amos, I'm sure, was with the Bears when Sean was there.
This is a great list. Adrian Amos, who signed a big deal with the Packers, good player.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see the guys who could potentially start. Rodney McLeod's out there.
Wow.
I know.
Rodney McLeod's been on Philly Sports Radio a couple of times. He might be looking forward to that part of his career.
Yeah, great guy. Eric Rowe, Eagle. Boy, Schwartz never should. He should have let him. That was a mistake, but they didn't give him a chance.
It's like you could have kept him and Goblin. It didn't have to be one or the other.
Yeah, and Goblin, he's back with Mills resigned with the Patriots.
My favorite part of them cutting Eric Rowe was Howie in full-on damage control, almost insulting the fans' intelligence, saying, well, it was really hard to see him getting we like to give guys extensions after 3 years. It was hard to see him getting one after year one. Like,
Terrell Emmons is out there. Now this, I know he's been a disappointment, but he's still young. And they didn't pick up a fifth year option. He's out there.
Yeah, there's players, man.
What's that?
There's players. I mean, none of them are going to wow you, but there's players.
It's a buyer's market. There's so many safeties out there. You're right. So Nicholas just wait. John Johnson's out there, who's cut by the Browns. They want to pay his roster bonus. So they made a decision that he wasn't going to be back. So yeah, there's so many guys out.
Well, they should sign John Johnson and Rodney McLeod, and then they'll have two guys in Philadelphia sports radio as the starting safeties for the Philadelphia Eagles. So that would be funny, right?
John Johnson, but WIP, right? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah. Right. So, all right. That's the point where we know the end of the podcast is here. So we're going to thank everybody. Yeah, we'll catch you again on Monday morning on the next Inside the Birds podcast. That'll do it for this one. We're the leading podcast in Eagles Intel. Big thanks to you, the listener, for flying with us inside the birds.